Amen. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we thank you that you love us more than we can imagine. And so, Lord, we take that and stand strong and look to you. And no matter what's going on, we just hold on that you love us. And so, God, we give you thanks. And we just pray, I pray a protection over each person and be an encouragement to them. Thank you for the word that you reveal things to us. We would not know unless you would tell us. And so we thank you for your word, and we thank you how you minister us and touch us through your spirit. So we give all things to you. And I pray you'd anoint me this morning. I just speak things of the spirit, and that hearts would be open to your word and spirits would be open, Lord, and it would be empowering and changing and encouraging to everyone here and everyone listening. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen, amen. The message this morning is on eternal life, okay? So eternal life. And I don't know why I do this. I do this a lot of times. I'll see a particular word and I just look it up in the dictionary. Just think, you know, because you say that, well, maybe you don't. You don't. I do. I say things and then, you know, I think, I wonder what that really means. And then I read it and I thought, yeah, maybe I should use that a little different. It doesn't mean exactly what I thought it did. But eternal means lasting. One definition, lasting or existing forever. Lasting or without end, without beginning. Without end, without beginning. I had a real good friend one time, and we were talking. He wasn't a believer, and I was a real young believer. And so we started talking about forever and infinity. And like, we're real good friends. And after a while, he said, stop it. He goes, that hurts. That hurts my head. Let's just don't do this anymore. All right, we won't do it anymore. But eternity, that really is something we should be thinking about. And let's look here what it says in 1 John chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. And we're looking at eternal life. Eternal life. It says this, and this is the testimony that God gave us, eternal life. And this eternal life is in the Son. Whoever has the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have eternal life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Now, if you're following along with me in the Bible, you see in parentheses where I added eternal. Well, I did it because that's what he's talking about, eternal life all the way through, except he just said life and life and life. So I added the eternal life. But you hear in this verse, it says, and again, as we talked about different things in 1 John, he's talking to the church. He's not talking to non-believers. He's talking to the church, and he's working with them, some issues they've gone through and stuff. And so he's reminding the church, says, this is the testimony that God gave. Who to give the testimony? The church, so they understand more. And what he gave us is eternal life, that we understand eternal life, and that we may know we have eternal life. Whatever you're going through, listen, you got to know you have eternal life. So to us, the church today, we need to know we have eternal life. We need to understand that. Now, so as we look at this, eternal life is a present spiritual reality existing forever. Now, it's like, well, we get eternal life. Well, how do you get it? I mean, it's eternal. Eternity past, eternity future. It's like, well, it starts with me. And no, you just kind of step into it. It didn't start with you, you know. And so what we have, we understand that eternal life is a spiritual reality right now, happening right now, in which God possesses, the Lord Jesus Christ possesses. And it's without end and without beginning. Okay? Now just think about that. It's Jesus and God, they're in eternal life, they're in eternity, and it in Genesis, what does it say? In the beginning, somebody help me, God, eternity. In the beginning, where do we say it's God, eternity. Oh, so we get a view in eternity, and God says, well, God spoke. See? The worlds came in. Well, then he created substance, time, and everything else. See, it before is him. How do you tell time and eternity? I mean, you never get there. you know, I'll see you tomorrow. Come on, don't tell me that. You know, I may not ever see you again. I mean, give me a little more context. But anyway, so, but the point of it is, he's telling these people, hey, well, remember, you have eternal life. Well, he's telling us we have eternal life. And eternal life was before creation, and eternal life will continue after the world is destroyed. Eternity. We have eternal life. And again, just draw like eternal life. This podium, not going to make it. It's not going to make it, you know. I'm going to take good care of it. It might last for a long, but it's not going to make it. But here's something else that's going to make it. I was just looking at my sweet little old cheek here, you know, right here. This body's not going to make it. It's not going to make it. You know, this physical body is not going to make it. The spirit within me makes it. See, because the spirit within me steps into the eternal life of the Spirit of God, which is eternity. Right here, me and this podium are not eternity. Eternity. Some of you, by the end of this message, will go, this is going on for eternity. You know, but it really isn't. It really isn't. Okay, so we have this thought that, and what God is showing us here, and it really is powerful. But again, take note that he is telling the people, listen, you have eternal life. And this is the message that we have. And it wants to, and once you have that message, once you have some understanding, then one starts to put things in perspective, All right, and so what we have here, and for the church to understand, for the church to understand, all humanity is physically alive, but spiritually dead and separated from God. Now that's a really hard statement for some people to accept. Really hard statement for the world to accept, but God makes that clear. I mean, you go out and you go to the store and there's full of people and they're as physically alive as you are. Okay, maybe more physically alive than you are. You know, they said, oh, settle down, good grief. You know, so they're physically alive, but they're spiritually dead. They're spiritually dead. There's not an operation of the Spirit within them, but they're alive, created in God's image, and so they function as people, as all people do on this earth. Now, what we know, it's said in 1 John, is God's Son embodies the totality of eternal life. You want to see the eternal life? You look at Jesus. That's eternal life. When Jesus said he wants to give you a picture of life, who does he point to? Himself. You know, and he said, what are you doing that for? You know, he said, well, I'm going to explain this to you. This is what Jesus was saying. So Jesus embodies the totality of eternal life. And it's he who has the Son has eternal life. Now you see the connection. Here you've got all eternity. And I said, now you have the Son, you have eternity. This goes back in the beginning when God said, you know, God in the beginning. God. You make the connection with the beginning with God. That's eternity. This is absolutely total eternity. Now, so, and since eternal life is without beginning or ending, it's present now. Now process that. It's present now. And God tells you, you come to know him, he says, you have eternal life. Oh, I'm going to die, and then I have eternal life. It's not what he says. It's not what he said. He goes, you come to know Jesus, you have eternal life. Now, eternity. I mean, can we take the time span out of the world and put it over? So, well, this is not eternity. Let's put it over here. No, it's in eternity. Eternity's moving. Okay, God's moving. You know, he's having his work. So we are within eternity. We are within eternity. And then when we see Jesus as a picture of eternity and God, and then we receive Jesus, then we're in the realm of eternity. We're in that realm. The physical realm is not in it. It's just, it's kind of like this podium. You know, this world is like this podium. It's not going to last. You know, it's just a physical thing in within eternity, but it's going to have an end. It's going to definitely have an end. And so as a result, that eternity's without end, Jesus was without end, God's without end, we receive Jesus, we are without end. See, as soon as we accept Jesus, we are without end. Now, so we have moved from death, which the Bible says, you went from death to eternal life. Well, I just was standing here. You know, no, you went, you trusted Jesus, you went from death to eternal life. Because eternity already exists. You know? So we look at this and we think about it. And so this whole idea, and this is really important, we've talked about this particular thing a lot, is that this is a belief, this is not a belief system or a system of belief, okay? It's a truth of reality that's happening now. You know, well, let's study this. This is, you think this way, I think this way, this other person thinks this way, and we're going to compare systems. And it's like, no, it's the person of Jesus. It's the person of Jesus. It's not a list about Jesus or anything else. It's not knowledge or anything else. It's accept Christ. That's the reason a six-year-old can accept Christ and they step in eternity. See? And you have a college professor that's smarter than anybody you know and can't. You see what I'm saying? So God, that's the way God set it up. So it's all about a person. We step into eternal life. We step into eternal life by receiving Jesus. Eternal life only comes through Jesus. That's the reason Jesus would say things like this. John 14:6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Well, that's kind of heady. You know, I mean, good grief. Because he understood him being eternity, no beginning or end. Him being, he'd say that, yeah. Now, I'm going to tell you, and the only way you're going to get through there is through me. And, of course, we see the explanation of the cross, and he who knew no sin, Jesus, what? Became sin. Why do you have to do that? So we could exist for eternity in life, eternal life. See? And Jesus was the only one to pull that off. Only one could do it. Now, y'all with me? We're good. Okay, we're good with eternal life. Happy about it. And it's through Jesus and what he gives to us and what he has meant for us. Now, there's an absolute truth, and you can share this with your neighbor. Okay? The absolute truth is everybody dies. Maybe you don't want to share with the neighbor. Okay? Be a little bit more positive than that. But the thing of it is, you can't, hey, I just met this guy the other day. You know, he knows a person who never died. You never have that conversation because it didn't happen, and everybody knows it doesn't happen. You know, we die. Everything in history, everything in the scriptures says that we die. Now, I could just have a little caveat in Genesis. It says Enoch didn't die. He got to, okay. God takes you, you know, you can get out of that one. Elijah was taken, okay. But other than those two gentlemen, okay, everybody dies. You're going to die. Everybody in your family dies. Everybody. I mean, it just is. Is. And I've told you this already, but it's just so funny. I just want to tell you again. I was telling my granddaughter, and I said, she has her whole life in front of her. You know, and I said, like on this bell curve, it just goes up and down like that. And you're going up, and your whole life's in front of you. And I said, I'm on the other side of the bell curve. She goes, Granddad, you're on the flat part. And I said, you know, she's about as encouraging as I am. I mean, it's just like she is. So. But anyway, so whether you're going up the curve or down the curve, anyway, you're going to get on the flat part, you know, with me. So we have this understanding of eternal, of that everyone dies. Now, the world knows this. they know this. That I was watching one of these specials kind of like on Billy Graham, where he would go different places and he would talk to movie stars and stuff like that. And he had a, you know, really a big ministry. People knew who he was and like that. And I was fascinated. They showed little clips and stuff. It was just that. But one of the things they all managed to come around, and Billy Graham, I love the guy he's doing. Billy Graham had one message. I mean, you listen to him. He had one message. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you're saved. I mean, that was it. I mean, that was his message. Now, he'd go talk here, then boom, you know, that was it. And but those people he talked to, every one of them would say, well, what do you want to talk about? And they would say, you know, about death. They want to know what happens when you die. See, why? Because they're all going to die. You know, and the thing they couldn't figure out about Billy Graham's kind of happy about, hey, I'm going to die, you know. And it's, they go, that's not as much fun as you're letting on, you know, you're going to die. But that's how he presented it. But was interesting, why do people, the lost world, have questions about, because everybody dies, including them. They know, whatever they're doing, whatever they're encompassing, they know they're going to die. And it's like a fear, you know, and rightly so. That would be, you know, people would do that. You probably think I just watch television all the time. I don't. But I do like these biography things. I just get wrapped, you know. They had a... it's an interview with Lady Gaga. Okay, I'm watching it. I watched it. It's an interview with Lady Gaga. And this woman asked her, said, if you could experience one thing without anything in the world, one thing without any consequences, what would you want to experience? She says, no consequences. She goes, death. See, that's it. I can't get past that. See, everybody, it's like, whoever you are, whatever you do, I say, I'd like to know what happens. See, so anyway, the point is what we already know. You talk to people, I mean, who know the Lord, who don't, you know people are going to die. You're born and you're going to, will die. Thus one of the biggest fears for all humanity is death, and we Christians have good news, you know, because we have the answer to humanity's biggest fear. You see that? We have that to the biggest fear. And Jesus said in 17:3, the chapter 17 of John is really Jesus' prayer. It's a fascinating prayer. And he says this within this prayer, says John 17:3, and said, and this is, okay, this is eternal life. Okay, wow, you know, it's like take a left, you know, out the road and go 20 miles and take a right. And you go, no, see, this, Jesus says, this is eternal life, that they may know you, God, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. That's eternity. That's eternity. You know, somebody, non-Christian, dies. Well, eternity is to know God and know the one whom he sent. That's eternity. What's eternity like? God doesn't tell us a lot about it. There's a few things. Doesn't tell us a lot. But it's like to know God and the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's going to be an intimate relationship with those two. And all the rest of it, I say, who cares? I mean, we're one-on-one with God, and he's loving us. We're loving him for all eternity. And he says that is eternal. Well, tell me, you know, the gold road and the buildings. I said, no, God will be there. I love what it says in Revelation. It goes, there's no temple there. So, you know, it talks the Old Testament. He said, there's no temple there. It's God's the temple. That's who you know. You go to the temple. No, he's here. I mean, it's beyond. You start looking at that. It's something that's incomprehensible, you know. And so what we're looking at, eternal life. It's spending time with God and the Lord Jesus Christ. It is beyond anything in our imagination. Now, and the only evidence that the only real evidence we have of eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ. He came down into earth. He lived, crucified, resurrected, talked to a multitude of people, and went to heaven, and it's the right hand of God. That's eternity. That's eternity right there. And that's the focus on Jesus. You know, I really like this guy. I'm going to focus on him, and I think he'd have a good spot in heaven, and we can enjoy eternity together. No, that's a false god. That's an idol, and that's an absolute evidence that you will not spend eternity with God, because it comes through the avenue of the Lord Jesus Christ. He showed it to us. We receive him, and he takes us to be with him for all eternity. Amen? That's what's it. So he's telling us here in these different things. Now, and so what, not only, and this is something we can understand. So what is eternity? To know God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's nothing higher. There's nothing higher. And that's why he's saying it. No, that's no. But now the truth of it is also, not only is eternal life endless, knowing God and the Lord Jesus Christ and coming to him. I mean, it's endless. You know, if it's just, you know, forever, you and Jesus and God, you know, and that's good. So, but within that eternal life, there is also an eternal dimension. There's an eternal dimension. You know, we will be with God and we will be with Christ, and it'll be all encompassing, and that's going to be our glory, and that's what we want. But what it also says, there is a functioning spiritual dimension at work. There's a functioning spiritual dimension at work. And so with this functional dimension at work, eternal life is an involvement with this lasting environment. You see what I'm saying? So there is an environment which God has created that's eternal. So he is eternal life, but he lives within this. He has created this eternal environment, spiritual environment, that we will live with him. This is spiritual dimension. We will go be with him in this spiritual dimension. And he tells us that. So something's going on. But he didn't tell us. That's the thing. He doesn't tell us what's going on, but something is really going on in this spiritual dimension. Now, and this is where you can, what death does, it's a cessation, a stopping of any hope of ever entering that dimension. That's what death is. You think, oh, you, as a believer, you go into that dimension. New body, you know, knowing Jesus, knowing God the Father, and you live in that new dimension. Death is not going into that new dimension. Okay, now we can get very talking about hell and all those things which are in the scripture, but we'll leave that for another time. But that's what death is. It's the inability to enter that dimension. You don't go there. You don't go there. Now, again, our sweet little cheeks don't go either place. It's our spirit that goes. Now, so y'all with me? So there is a dimension. There's a spiritual dimension has an operation that it actually stuff functions. Okay, stuff functions that God has created. Now, and so the Apostle Paul, he gives us a little insight about this, okay, because, and again, you can say, you can look at Revelation and you can, that, you know, there's so much, you know, pictures and analogies and stuff like that, and I think it's trying to give us a glimpse, but I think it's much bigger and more involved even than what Revelation says. But the Apostle Paul gives us a little hint, okay, so, and what he says, and the Apostle Paul is the only one, to my knowledge, I think, about, he was taken up into the third heaven, okay, and he comes back. And so let's just listen to what the Apostle Paul says about, and what this is, what Paul, the Apostle Paul was taken up to, was in that spiritual dimension that exists beyond the physical. See, we try to put the spiritual within our physical. The physical is inside the spiritual. Like you got the spiritual, like if you had, if this podium was the world, you have the beginning and the end. That's this podium. The spiritual is infinity in both directions. See? And so we think this world, or my podium, is, you know, infinity. It's not. We think this world is everything. It's not. It's, and he calls our lives a vapor, you know. I mean, so, a little sidetrack there. Let's get back to eternal life. So there's eternal dimension. This is what Paul says. He said he was caught up into the third heaven. Now, where is that? The third heaven. See, so he's telling us something right there. He's caught up into third heaven. I'm not going to get into the discussion with that. Caught up into the third heaven, caught up into paradise. What did Jesus tell the thief on the cross? Today you will be with me in paradise. See, right? It's today. You know, oh, well, there'll be a little soul sleep for 500 years and then you'll come like that. No, you're going to be today. Today you're going to be with me in paradise. Today. They're both on the cross. You know, he didn't have time to be baptized, nothing. I mean, he is coming. Jesus says, you're coming. You know, today you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, Paul says that he's caught up in the third heaven, caught up into paradise, and saw things that could not be repeated. There's heaven. There's heaven. He saw things. You couldn't even repeat it, what he saw. And then what we have here, years later, after he wrote that in Corinthians, years later in the book of Philippians, Paul said this when he's going through some tough times. He said this. Now, he saw heaven. He saw where he's going. He's going through some real rough times. And then Paul said this. For me, to live is Christ. To die is gain. Oh, gosh. To die is gain. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. And do you know why he wanted to stay? To help us. Yeah, I'll stay. But if you ask me what I want to go be with the Lord. Now, that answers a lot of theological questions, just like the thief on the cross. I want to go now. And I saw what looks like, oh, man, that's where I desire to be, desire to be. Now, this can be really, really helpful, you know, because, by the way, how many people in this world are going to die? Okay, everybody. So, and you know, and I'm not excited, you know, I'm not just skipping that, oh boy, I'm looking forward, you know. It's like, I don't know, when that train hits, I don't necessarily, I'm not excited about that. But when you read the Apostle Paul wouldn't worry about it. This is where I'm going. Now, the reason I bring that up is because we face death, and death is very difficult for anybody who goes through it, and it just is, you know. And I really don't think it's spiritually natural, you know. God didn't create us to die. I mean, so I think there's always with anybody. and that's why I've said this before. Some churches, you know, they have, well, we're going not to a funeral, we're going to a celebration of life. Okay, I get that, you know. But listen, when I die, I don't want a little mourning, you know. I don't want a few tears shed when I'm laid out. And I just kind of weep and don't say, hallelujah, he was a good man, glad he's gone, or, you know, hope he's having fun in Jesus. No, I want a tear shed on me, okay? So I don't want you to call it celebration of life. Okay, anyway, we'll just stick with funeral, okay, right here. Now, so but what you have here, so the whole thing of what you have here, though, that should be helpful, is that when people, believers, go to be with the Lord, we know this. Okay, no, they truly are better. They truly are. Now, it hurts because of your family, whatever, and you don't get to see them, and that's a painful thing. And it's true, really, pain. But for them personally, you know, they're okay. They're okay, and that's our encouragement. But we are hurt because they have gone. So we're saying, no, they really are okay. And I've said, you know, it doesn't say here in the scripture, but I've said too, I said, if you gave them an option to come back, they'd say, no, I'm okay here. This place is a blast, you know. Sorry y'all are hurting, but I'm going to stay. Okay, so that gives us a little bit of, even though it's really painful when someone close to us dies or something like that, we will know that they are in the presence of the Lord. This brings me to my mother, and I've shared this before too. And she was a baby Christian. She died of emphysema. And the thing about dying for emphysema, your lungs just eat up. She smoked ever since she was 14 years old. But her rest of her body was good. See, so it was just the lungs, and that was carrying out. And so when she died, she was very, very alert. You know, it wasn't like you're alert. And of course, she knew. I knew the Lord, and she'd ask me questions. But she never went to church, never even, I prayed with her, received Christ years before this and stuff. And I'm sure she was a believer, but she didn't know anything. So here she is, and she goes, and she asks me this. And she's there, and she got these tubes. She has to write it down, you know, because it's trying to keep her breathing going. Her lungs are just gone. And she wrote it down. She says, "What's it going to be like in heaven?" And you go, "Well, let me go to the commentary here and we'll talk to you." It's like, holy crap. I mean, you're like, this man, and what's it going to be like? You talk about like pressure. It's like, oh my God. And with all my heart, I believe God gave me a word. You talk, "Oh dear Jesus." You know, she's sitting here. And I said, "It's just going to be like walking through a door and the first person you see is Jesus." And she just shut her, nodded. And I thought, now where'd that come from? I'm going to use that again. That wasn't bad, you know. But the thing of it, and I have, it's like, what's that? It's like this body not going, you know. But it's like walking through a door. First person you see is Jesus. You get a new body. Amen? See, and so that way you can be encouraged. And again, it's not, oh, you're going to be, oh, God, I hate this believer. Oh, you'll love it. It's another place. I wish you was in bed here instead of me. Don't tell me that, you know. And there's a few people come in like that, you know. No, I mean, death is a difficult thing, and we walk people through it. And like I said, I believe everything I'm telling you, but I'm not in a hurry. You know, it's like, you see what I'm saying? Okay, so, but we understand that there's a physical and then there's a spiritual eternal life dimension. It's eternal life. And through Jesus, we have eternal life. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. So we're called to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved and experience eternal life. And it starts now, by the way. We can interact with God spiritually now. Starts now. We can interact with Him that in that element of spiritual life. We're limited by our bodies and the physical things, but we can still interact spiritually with God, which He shows us. Similar to what Jesus did. Jesus was totally, you know, locked in, but He knew hearing from God and doing what He told Him to. But so back to the, what were we talking about? Eternal life. Okay. So here's eternal life. And here's what Jesus said to the disciples in John chapter 8, verse 51. Now listen to this. John 8, verse 51. "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." What does that mean? He's not going to physically die. No, we're all going to physically die. No, you'll never see spiritual death. He'll just leave this body and go in the presence with the Lord. You'll never see death. Never see death. See? And so Jesus, there's one place, and I started to bring this out, but there's one place where Jesus tells His disciples, He actually says this, "You'll never die." How many times have you heard that in church? I mean, it's like, well, wait a minute, you better elaborate on that. But that's what it says, you'll never die. So you'll shed your body, but you don't die as a believer. Amen? How are we excited about eternal life? Amen. This is a good deal. We're in eternal life. We're excited about that. Now, two, I want to touch on a few other things. And I started not to bring this in, but I wanted to because sometimes we have this view, like, well, last past two Sundays, we were talking about God's love, and God is love, and that He loves us. And, you know, several people said, man, that is just taking the end, that God loves me. The Bible says He loves me that much, you know, and it's so encouraging. Well, I'm adding this so it'll be somewhat encouraging, too, on this was eternal life. God wants eternal life for us. That He wants it for us, that we experience eternal life. And it is such a desire of His, it's such a desire of His that He chooses us. Now, don't you think about that? He chooses us. You know. I mean, I think somebody comes to the Lord and you know, God and Gabriel up in heaven, somebody comes to the Lord and says, golly, and they just collapse. I didn't see that coming, man. No, they knew. They knew. They choose. Now, I'm not one of these guys that everything's predestined and, you know, just the ones that come to heaven are predestined and, you know, and you can get in all that. You know, I'm not like that. I've said, whosoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. You got to believe. But still, within that sovereign work of God, God touches His people. God touches His people. That's a truth, and I don't know how it all fits together in heaven. You know, I love this picture, and they have, like, who goes to heaven, and there's a door in heaven that says, whosoever believes, right? That's right. Okay, you believe, you can open the door, and you walk through that door, and you shut it behind you, and then you look back at the same door, and it says, chosen from eternity past. Wait a minute, it's the same door. Well, God works that out, and I'm not sure how He works it. But what He says here in John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. We're not an accident, okay? And you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you turn to Him. But don't think that He didn't have a part in your salvation, a part in bringing Him to you, in choosing you and setting things up that you would receive Him. Now, still, I believe it's our ultimate choice. You believe on the Lord Jesus Christ or you don't believe. I was talking to this one guy. He was in the Air Force, and he's really frustrated. And he'd been traveling all around the United States. He'd been taken to different places, you know, how the military does, you know, every 2 years or something else. And he told me, and he said, and he asked me just flat out about the gospel, and I told him. He said, you know, I'm moving. He told me the place. It's about 5. I went to this place, and I said, the next door neighbor believe just what you did. And we went to the, believe, and the guy believed just what you did. And then went there, and he just spoke like what that other, and went to about 4 of them. He says, what is this with all these believers? And I'm thinking, well, God's trying to tell you something. God's trying to tell, and He's moving heaven and earth to tell you. You know, I says, I have people here in the military all the time. They move and they live next to all sorts of people and non-believers. But for you, God is trying to tell you something. And each point is a divine appointment for you. And it's come to this point. It's up to you to believe. And he prayed with me to receive Christ right there. See, God's in active in our salvation, but it's whosoever believes. You know, I mean, that guy had every opportunity to say, I don't believe you or the other 4 people who told me. Okay, you know, it's not. But you see what I'm saying? God is active. But when you come to say, you know, you come to save him. Man, I just worked my way. I'm the greatest guy in the world. You'll be happy you're on my team. It's no, that's not what. I chose you. I chose you, all right? And I'm going to bring you through this and have a purpose for you. It says in John 17:6, it says this. Jesus talking to God, 17:6, God, Jesus' prayer, chapter 17. I've manifested your name to the people whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Well, God and Jesus are really busy with those folks, getting them to that point. getting them to that point. So just one of those, Jesus says, I'll build my church. And he is building his church. He's active, moving, touching people, and he's choosing believers to do that. So I love this. I'm going to close with this. It's in touching Revelation. I think this is a great way to end the book of Revelation. It's great to bring the Bible to a close, or closely to a close. I'm sure God appreciates me giving him credit to end it such appropriately. But this is how the book of Revelation ends. Revelation 22:17. And just, this is just, and think about eternal life. Now we get, again, the message was on eternal life. It's there. We have eternal life. Revelation 22:17. Closing out the Bible, closing out Revelation. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Now, who's the bride? Who's the bride? Church. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let the one who hears, okay, this little evangelism, and let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. Let the one who desires to take the water of life without price come. Amen. Hallelujah. Eternal life. The invitation by the Holy Spirit and every member of the church to those outside the church. We say, come. Come for life. Whoever is thirsty, come. And then, this is the invitation. The invitation God gave us is our invitation to everyone else. And now, with the whole view of eternal life in our mind, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Come. For God so loved the world. Come. That he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Come. See, it's now. It's now. And if you see just pictures, Jesus, come. Just come. Like a big river flowing. Just step in it. Come. It'll just take you away. Come. And you can just, I don't know, I can just almost hear the crackle in Jesus' voice. Come. What? Should not perish. You have eternal life. And it's now. And the decision now is you have an opportunity. But if you die without receiving it, there's no more opportunity. No more opportunity. Jesus is the only opportunity. So we say, come. Amen? Hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. And Lord, and we thank you that in our life, some way, somewhere down the road, someone spoke to us and said, come. Come. Life eternal. Come. Your sins are forgiven. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. God, we give thanks to you in the name of Jesus. Amen.